Welcome back from your break. And those downstairs who are planning to rejoin us, I invite you to do so now. And those serving downstairs on Easter Sunday, on behalf of Aaron and myself, thank you for your sacrifice and joyful service to our children, children's ministry. For those on the stream and for any in the room, my name's Bauer Evans. If you don't know that, I'm also one of the pastors. It's my privilege to not only greet you this morning, and on behalf of my family, I wish you a happy Easter, or as we say here, a happy resurrection day, but to invite you to participate in a tradition that I grew up with before I even understood what I was saying, and that would be this. The pastor or the clergyman would say, "The Lord is risen." And the congregation would say, "There we go. He is risen indeed." Please open in the scriptures to the Gospel of Luke, which is found in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you get to Acts or a book called Romans, you've gone too far. And we are going to begin reading in chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, the first 12 verses of his account. Luke is considered, if you will, the historian of the New Testament. He was a physician by training. He became a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul after his conversion, becoming a follower and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his companion volume to the Gospel of Luke, the book of Acts, records the early history of the church and thus the moniker, the church historian, if you will. This is his account based on eyewitness testimonies of what happened on Resurrection Sunday, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read the first 12 verses and then skip down to verse 36 through verse 49. This is God's word for us this Easter Sunday. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." Verse 36. "As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Thanks be to God for his word and the testimony of these witnesses. Let's pray. Father, as we turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and we consider what happened on Resurrection Sunday almost 2,000 years ago, the unanticipated events of that day unfolded in a fast and furious pace, which did not allow the disciples to fully grasp in those initial moments the implications and the life-altering, history-changing reality of this simple truth: Christ is risen. I pray that this morning, Lord, you would encourage our hearts through our reflections together based on these testimonies to rejoice in the risen Christ, who is both the cornerstone of our faith and his life, death, and resurrection, the most joyful event to happen in human history. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. I don't know if you're familiar with this. I am technologically still living in the 90s, so this is a new phenomena for me. But I was handed on Maundy Thursday one of these. Do you recognize that? That is what I'm told is a QR code. And in this case, it's a QR code that supports our brother Dale on his mission to Budapest, which we're excited to support. And there are additional QR codes in the back if yours timed out. Apparently, the original QR code, and again, I don't know anything about QR codes, the original QR code that we were given when Dale did his mission presentation, there was a time limit on that. And so after so many hours, it expired. Is that correct? Yeah. Something like that. So this one will never expire. It goes on into Xfinity, or at least for the next few weeks as you prayerfully consider supporting Dale and his mission trip to Ben. I highly encourage you to do. Linda and I did joyfully. We have something here that, like a QR code, gives you access to the person this story is about. And yet, better than even modern technology provides through a QR code, this access never ends. It never expires, and it does not require you to have a smartphone or an internet connection to access it. It does invite you to use your imagination, because what we're talking about, we were not there when it happened. And it is asking you to acknowledge your skepticism, both for someone who is a Christian and for those who are not. As we prayed earlier this morning, we prayed for those who would even at this juncture in their faith in Christ still have lingering doubts or skepticisms about the eyewitness testimonies of the resurrection. It is the nature of the human heart to doubt what they cannot see and certainly do not control and have no rational explanation for, like the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is received by faith. This claim, this declaration, this eyewitness testimony. But it also provides, through receiving this story, this testimony, good news for the fearful. Good news for the fearful, for the people who we read about were fearful. They were not only skeptical that Jesus was bodily resurrected before their eyes, but they were fearful of the one that they encountered that we just read about. They were fearful of what implications this event would have on their life in light of Jewish hostility that crucified Jesus and Roman opposition, for he claimed to be a king. So if you're fearful this morning, this eyewitness account is good news for the fearful, for the Christian, and for those not so sure. Finally, rejoicing in the risen Christ is good news for everyone who believes. It has been, it will remain, and unlike a QR code, long into eternity, long into the afterlife, they will still be rejoicing in the resurrection of Christ, the bodily resurrection. I keep saying that because it's true. So let's consider our text this morning. And I want to remind you, particularly my believing friends, of Paul's word to the Philippians, because nothing I will say in the next 25 minutes will be new, novel, innovative, insightful, inspirational, or motivating. It doesn't have to be. When Paul wrote to his beloved believing church in Philippi, he gave them this simple instruction in verse 1 of chapter 3. Brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. And so we will take Paul at his word, and I will call you as I call myself to rejoice in the risen Christ. If you are a believer, rejoice in the risen Christ, for it is safe for you to do so. For it is the cornerstone of our faith, and it is the most joyful event to ever happen in human history. But as you do, let's be honest. Are you skeptical? Is the good news of his resurrection sufficient to dislodge the fears that crouch at our door every day? Fears of an uncertain future, fear of turmoil and tragedy tomorrow. Is rejoicing in the risen Christ good news when the glass is half empty and the inbox is overwhelming? Or only good news when the glass is full and the inbox is empty and everything in your life is going according to your plan? That's where Easter reaches us. We're called to rejoice. I'm called to rejoice. Let's consider the text and ask for God's grace as we do. It's an eyewitness account. as we just read, I imagine for some in this room, maybe all, this is not an unfamiliar passage. On the first day, Luke records of the week, chapter 24, some women went to the tomb to anoint, if you will, the body of Jesus. He has now laid in the tomb for over 2 days. They go to anoint his body with spices, and when they approach the tomb, verse 2, they find the stone rolled away, and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ they did not find. And it says, verse 4, they were perplexed about this. And while they were perplexed, two angels spoke to them in dazzling apparel, verse 4. They were startled and frightened by the appearance of these angels. They bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living of the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day arise." Someone recited to me Matthew's account today of this event, and there it says, as he said would happen, as Jesus told them it would happen, he would be crucified, die, be buried, and rise again. What do these women and the disciples whom they will then report to that the Lord is raised have in common? What do they have in common with us? What do they have in common then with all people? No one anticipated the bodily resurrection of Christ that day. Our children's ministry teachers are exceptional. Our parents who teach their kids at home are exceptional. I teach in a public school. I consider myself exceptional. That's probably self-serving. But there was no better teacher than Jesus, and they never got the lesson. They never got it. They never understood it. They didn't grasp it. They apparently didn't pass any of the exit tickets along the way. So when he was raised, they are stunned, shocked, perplexed. It is completely unexpected. So this is good news for the skeptics. This is good news for the doubtful. This is good news for even people who have raised arguments against the bodily resurrection of Christ. The good news is this: the original recipients of this testimony didn't believe it either. How kind and gracious and humble and patient of God to not only for these individuals predict his resurrection, preceded by his death, but then to patiently convince them over time and through a variety of proofs that they would believe that the eternal Son of God lives again. That's my first point. There's good news here for skeptics who doubt the resurrection. There's also good news for the fearful. The fearful are the disciples in verse 36, who, when he surprisingly appears to them, as they were talking about the testimony of the women, he says, and it's with an exclamation point, so I think he said it rather firmly and authoritatively, "Peace be to you." Do you see that in your text, verse 36? And they were startled. They were frightened. They thought they saw a spirit. I guess in modern terms, we'd use the word hallucinating or delusional. We must be delusional. We saw him crucified. We witnessed his burial in the tomb. When he appears to them, they are frightened, and he says to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, disbelief, joy, marveling, it's just a cacophony of emotions, he eats a piece of broiled fish before them. Prior to his death in John's gospel, he made this promise to the disciples: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the great mystery of the gospel, both in the resurrection of Christ and in his blood shed on Calvary on Good Friday for the forgiveness of sinners' sins like yours and mine. We have peace with God every day through faith in him. Amen? We have peace with a righteous, holy, just God, as revealed in Scripture, and through the loving giving of his Son, the Father sends Jesus Christ, his Son, to be our Savior as our substitute in order to offer himself on Good Friday as the fulfillment of all the sacrifices that have been made and animals and blood shed in the old covenant, fulfilling those types and shadows through the tragedy and humiliation and shame of his execution, taking upon himself not only the pain and the physical torment of that execution, but taking upon himself the shame and guilt and punishment of a holy God for our sins. It's staggering. It's a mystery. It's the greatest mystery of the gospel, that with his death and subsequent resurrection, when we repent of our sins, meaning when we turn from trying to save ourselves through performances or good works and we turn and put our trust in Christ and we surrender our life to him, he greets us every day with this precious promise: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Not because he's a nice God, but because Jesus Christ is risen. His blood was sufficient. His mercies never end because he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for knuckleheads like me and sinners like you. Because the gospel is good news for the fearful. Rejoice then in Christ. Rejoice in the risen Christ. It's safe for you to do so, Paul said. It's safe. One of the fears that I have, and I'm just being honest, one of the fears that I have, and it's because probably that I'm young that I have this fear and I'm not more fearful of some other things that I probably should be, is I'm fearful about my own heart. I've always had this sort of buyer's remorse kind of built into my DNA, you know. And I'm fearful of my own heart. I saw it as a teenager, where I tried to play both sides of the fence. I would be both the kid that my parents wanted me to be, you know, college bound, and I wore the weird outfits on Easter Sunday to church, and, you know, Eagle Scout. But then there was this other side of me that they were completely unaware of. Sorry, Mom, I know you're watching. which she is now aware of. I told the story before. I was a thief. I stole things. Ashamed of that. Both from my parents. They'd leave cash out and I'd steal it. They didn't count it very often, apparently, but we used it to purchase adult beverages. Ashamed of this even more. We broke into people's homes. Now, it wasn't to steal things. It was just sort of petty, whatever we did. You know, just a spook. Were they here? Yeah. Never got caught. Should have been. And then there was just this other stuff I won't go into, but I had two lives, is what I'm saying. Two lives. I had the life that looked good on graduation day or Easter Sunday. I had this other life that only my closest friends seemed to be aware of. And God in his mercy brings to me someone from both of those sides of the tracks. The valedictorian of the class, who's the captain of the soccer team that's going to go, you know, invent a new can opener. And the drug dealer that we're buying hashish from. Both are converted. Both hear the gospel and are changed. And both are coming to me. First, the drug dealer, who a week before, I'm not kidding, was talking to me about Michael Jackson and what he wanted to sell us that weekend. And then the captain of the soccer team, the state finalist soccer team, both converted. And you know what that tells me about the peace of God? It's not just that it forgives people that live two lives and live in a sense of denial about that, but that the gospel, the peace of God, is bigger than my own heart. It's able to change me from deep within. It's able to root out, through rejoicing in the resurrection of Christ, all the false hopes and little lies and double meanings that I can be tempted to play as long as nobody sees or catches me doing it, and to rejoice in the risen Christ because I can walk in the light of his holiness, knowing that he loves me, he's still at work in me, he wants me to walk a life of integrity, but he forgives me when I fall short, and he continues to work in me the fruit of his Spirit's presence, which is just humility and honesty and confession. I don't have to play the game. It's safe to rejoice in Jesus. We don't have to play the hypocrite. It's safe to be, in my case, living the lie of two lives to those who love you most, knowing that the one who knows me most and loves me the most has also, in his holy love, sent his precious Son to rescue me, not only from his punishment, but to rescue me and to begin to work in me a new heart, a new life, a new identity, if you will, with you, so I can live in the peace that passes understanding, the assurance that my life is pleasing to God through the righteousness of Christ, and the pleasure to know that those who delight in the Lord, he will never, ever not protect. Friends, I encourage you, rejoice in the resurrection, for the resurrection is good news for the fearful. And lastly, it's good news for everyone who believes. The final words of the passage we read says to these disciples, you are witnesses of these things. Go to the nations, proclaim his name, announce that the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Jewish king who was God's son, would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. What an announcement. What an announcement. In other words, take this QR code with you. Take it to your family gatherings this afternoon. Take it to the barber shop. Take it to the classroom. Take it to the grocery. Not this QR code. I mean, Dale would like that if these, you know. No, the QR code that is the gospel. Not in ways that are unloving, not in ways that are rude, not in ways that are too busy to pay attention to the person in front of you. No, that's not what Jesus did. As we said Maundy Thursday, Jesus was all in. He didn't save us through remote control. He gave himself, all of himself, for 33 years. So let's give him us, but let's give him Christ at work in us. And the good news that Christ died for you too. Christ lives for you too. Christ loves you. Christ, through faith in him, will bring you in a relationship with God the Father and God the Spirit through God the Son, and you will discover he enjoys you. How else could he call us his friends? Next month marks, I conclude with this, almost the one-year anniversary of Tim Keller's passing. Tim was a Bucknell alumnus, but more importantly, he was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he and Kathy planted Redeemer Presbyterian Church in a part of New York City that had no evangelical witness, and by God's grace, and completely unexpected to Tim and Kathy, and over the course of a lifetime, they had the privilege to serve and support dozens of church plants throughout the city of New York. You know, my daughter lives there, and she can point to where these gatherings of believers are. I know for some of us, they're Presbyterian, but God did work. God did work. But perhaps for Tim and Kathy, the greatest testimony was the one he gave 3 weeks before he died. He was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. And when the normal treatments didn't work and the remission was over, he said to the doctors, "All right, if only the experimental things work now, I'll do it. It will advance research and maybe it will help someone down the road. But I wanna meet with the staff that are caring for me, and we're gonna have a service, because I know I'm going to die." So there he was with all the nurses and the doctors. I don't think any of them were Presbyterian, let alone Christians. And there's like two other believers, like weeks before he's going to die. And they basically did the funeral service for Tim that they did for the rest of the church online after he passed and was with the Lord, right? And so one of his close friends, after that event, who was there, said, "Can I just do a quick exit interview with you?" His name's Russell Moore, and he got Tim on the phone. There's Tim in his apartment, in his office. He's overweight because he's taking all these meds, and he's in pain. He's grabbing his back, and he says, "You're gonna be gone in a matter of days. Do you still believe in the hope of the resurrection?" I loved his answer. You can look it up. It's on Instagram. It's like 60 seconds. "Kathy and I have been talking about this." Love that. She's helping me face this reality. Did I want to end my life this early? I wanted to enjoy my grandkids a little longer. I have six more books I could write. There's churches I want to serve. There's non-believers. But I am absolutely convinced of the hope of the resurrection. So Russell said, "Why?" "Well, Russell," I guess you can call Dr. Moore Russell when you're friends with him. "Russell, he walked out of the tomb. People saw him, beginning with those women. Then the disciples saw him. And in Acts records, he appeared again and again
And again, and he's talking to them, and I guess he's eating more broiled fish or something, and they realize they're not hallucinating or delusional. And they not only became believers and put their hope in the risen Christ, but they rejoiced in it. They rejoiced in it. They believed it and rejoiced in it in such a way that they're willing to suffer loss to know this Savior. Well, what about, are you afraid of anything? I understand intellectually you believe it's true. Are you afraid? He said, I'm not. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Because it's not just the bodily resurrection that I believe in of Christ, which means I will receive a new body on the other side. But the scriptures testify that there's a new creation coming too. When this planet and this cosmos will be cleansed of all its evil and all its suffering and all its brokenness. So everything I fear in this life, everything, it's going to be okay. Because in that life, it's all gone. Whether you believe that, the good news is still for you. Whether you receive that, well, the QR code, the termination date is turned off. Receive him today. And if you have, if you believe that Christ is raised, and I urge you from Paul's letter, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is safe for you to do so today. Amen? For the resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith and the most joyful event to ever happen. Let's pray. Lord, Scripture is clear. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So we agree with our Savior who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. We believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world to ransom sinners like me and us today. Help us to rejoice in the risen Christ. And if we have not first received you by repenting of our sins and believing in you and your work on our behalf, may today be a new beginning. May today be a day of receiving you by faith. May today be not just an Easter celebration, but the beginning of a journey with the resurrected Christ. And through faith in him, the joy of knowing he lives. Mm-hmm. He lives. Mm-hmm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.